Good evening. I encourage you to open up your Bibles in Matthew chapter 14 and verses 22 through 33 will be our main text this evening. Matthew chapter 14 and verses 22 through 33. I just want to take a brief moment to thank the good elders here for their invitation to be with you all today and have fellowship with you and to worship God and be able to speak to you from the Word of God today, both this morning and tonight. I also ask for your prayers as well. 2 weeks from tomorrow, I will be leaving to go to the Philippines on an evangelistic trip. I'll be gone for 3 weeks, and I'll be flying out of Dayton and then meeting the rest of the group in Minneapolis later that afternoon. So I ask for your prayers for the safety of the trip and also that the souls that will be preached to, that they'll be cut to the heart by God's word and respond to the gospel call. Matthew chapter 14 and verses 22 through 33 will be our main focus here this evening. And of course, there in the previous verses in this chapter, we can read beginning there in verse 1 of the death of John the Baptist. And then Jesus feeds the 5,000 beginning there in verse 14. But let's pick up reading in verse 22 of this chapter. The Bible says, immediately he made the disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side while he dismissed the crowds. And after he had dismissed the crowds, he went up on the mountain by himself to pray. And when evening came, he was there alone. But the boat by this time was a long way from the land, beaten by the waves, for the wind was against them. And in the fourth watch of the night, he came to them walking on the sea. But when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were terrified and said, "It is a ghost." And they cried out in fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, "To take heart, it is I, and do not be afraid." And Peter answered him, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water." And he said, "Come." So Peter got out of the boat and walked on the water and came to Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid and began to sink. He cried out, "Lord, save me." And Jesus immediately reached out his hand and took hold of him, saying to him, "O you of little faith, why did you doubt?" And when they got into the boat, the wind ceased. And those in the boat worshipped him, saying that truly you are the Son of God. I'm sure all of us, driving around as we do day to day, we've all seen the bumper sticker that says, "The next time you think you're perfect, try walking on water." They're giving the idea to us that the next time you think you can do anything and everything, try walking on water. And of course, none of us really can. None of us can today. But the point in this account here, Matthew chapter 14, demonstrates that you don't have to be perfect to walk on water. Because Peter was the one who did so with the help of the Lord. And of course, we know Peter, just like any other man, had his own faults in his life. But in your life today, you want to do something more difficult than what Peter did, more difficult than walking on water, but to overcome Satan and the sin that he tries to throw your way. So I want to take a look this evening at this account of Peter's story here, of Peter walking on the water, and see what you can learn about defeating your fears. The first point, the first thing that Peter did in order to overcome his fears was the first thing he had to do, and that was to get out of the boat. In this passage, the disciples were struggling to cross the Sea of Galilee. It was the fourth watch of the night, somewhere between 3 and 6 a.m. in the morning. And they had been rowing all night against the wind, and according to John chapter 6 and verse 19, they had only made it about 3 or 4 miles on this approximately 6-mile journey. The disciples were tired, no doubt, because of the journey that they have already accomplished up to this point. And they were scared as well. And verses tell us here that they saw something approaching, something that they thought was a ghost. But the apparition spoke to them in a familiar voice, saying, "To take courage, it is I, and do not be afraid." And of course, Peter responded, "Lord, if it is you, to command me to come to you on the water." But think about this for a moment, about the storm that was going on during this time. The wind was causing so much disturbance. The wind was so strong against the boat that 12 able-bodied men could not get the boat to land. They were fighting with the wind to be able to stay afloat in this boat. And the wind is still going on at this time, but above the noise, they hear Jesus' voice cry out to them. And then Peter cries out to Jesus to command him to come out to him on the water. But why did Peter do that? Why did Peter want to get out of the boat and to go on the water with Jesus? What kind of faith did it take for Peter to get out of the boat in the middle of a windstorm at sea? When Peter got out of the boat, how do you think he did it? Did he slowly and cautiously lower himself over the edge, or did he jump out enthusiastically, jumping on the water surface? What was going through his mind at this point, once he got out of the boat and he was walking toward Jesus on the water? But really, why did he do it? Why did Peter get out of the boat and walk toward Jesus? Well, the answer is that Peter got out of the boat because he believed that he could be safer in the middle of the stormy sea with Jesus than in the boat without him. But understand this in your life, that Satan wants you to get hung up. Satan wants you to get hung up on the if part of Peter's question. Look at what he says there in verse 28 of Matthew 14. And Peter answered him, "Lord, if it is you, Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water." But you in your life today, you're not trying to walk on the water as Peter did in this case, but you're striving your life to overcome sin and the temptations that Satan throws your way. And the fact of the matter is that Satan does not want you to get out of the boat. He wants you to believe that you are safest in the boat of man's making. He wants you to believe that Jesus is not real, that his word is not real, and that he is not calling out to you, and that Jesus cannot give you the security that you can have in the boat in which you are now. He wants you to believe that nothing can protect you from the storms of life like the wisdom that you have and also the wisdom that society has to offer you. Because the fact of the matter is that Satan does not care about what makes you stay in the boat so long as you stay there together. Because his biggest tool to get at your soul is doubt. Putting doubt in your mind, you can be safer in the boat than in the stormy sea with Jesus. And Peter, of course, realized that he could be safe with Jesus in the storm. And of course, coming to Jesus means getting out of the boat, leaving the doubts and the fears behind, putting those things aside, and then moving on to approach Jesus in the water. And there will be others in your life who will think you're crazy for doing so. I'm sure all the other apostles in this case thought Peter was crazy for wanting to get out in the middle of this storm to be with Jesus. But in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, in verses 14 through 15, the Apostle Paul talks about this here. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, and in verses 14 and 15. 1 Corinthians 2, beginning in verse 14, he writes that the natural person does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they are folly to him, and he is not able to understand them because they are spiritually discerned. The spiritual person judges all things, but is himself to be judged by no one. Also over in Matthew chapter 10, Jesus again here speaks of the opposition that you can face when you decide to get out of the boat and to walk on the water with him. Matthew chapter 10 and the verses 34 through 39. Matthew chapter 10 and beginning in verse 34. Jesus is speaking here and he says that, "Do not think that I have come to bring peace to the earth. I have not come to bring peace but a sword. For I have come to set a man against his father, and the daughter against her mother, and the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And a person's enemies will be those of his own household. Whoever loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And whoever loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And whoever does not take his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me. Whoever finds his life will lose it. And whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. The fact of the matter is that there will be others in your life who will try to stop you. Who will try to keep you in the boat, exactly where Satan wants you to be. There will be others who will try to explain away the decision that you have made to get out of the boat and to walk on the water with Jesus. And yea, even as Jesus says here in this passage, even those of your own physical family who want to see you remain in the boat of doubts and fears. And there may even be times when you think yourself that you're crazy for doing so. But the key is to trust Jesus, just as Peter did here, to overcome sin in your life. Because it is safer in the middle of the storm with Jesus than struggling and straining in the boat all by yourself. Because if you want to walk with Jesus in life, the first step is just what Peter did here, and that is to get out of the boat. And once you are out of the boat, you have to remember that life will not be any easier. Because the storms will continue once you take that step out of the boat. And what do you think Peter expected when he got out of the boat here in this passage? And I'm sure we can imagine that he thought things would get easier, possibly expecting Jesus to calm the storm, just like Jesus did back in Matthew chapter 8 and in verse 26. But Jesus didn't do that. Jesus did not calm the storm here in this passage. Because when Peter got out, the wind continued. It did not stop. Imagine maybe how shocked Peter was at this point. And I'm positive, I'm sure, that he expected some kind of change. Because after all, Peter had enough faith to get out of the boat with the wind that was going on. But it was only when the wind continued that his faith began to waver. Ask yourself this evening. How many of you entered Christ? How many of you became a Christian with great excitement? Maybe thinking life would be easy after that. How many expected God to remove temptation, to remove doubts, and make it the easiest thing in the world to believe in Jesus? How many expected temptation to disappear, for God to remove all oppression, for God to remove all hardship and persecution? You know, many feel that way. Because many justify disobeying God, saying that they know God would not let them, would not make them go through some of the things that they have had to in their lives, to endure what they are enduring. But over in Acts chapter 14, and in verse 22, Paul sums it up very well for us here. Acts chapter 14, and in verse 22, Paul here is on his journeys through Lystra and Iconium and Antioch. He says there in verse 22 of Acts 14, it says, strengthening the souls of the disciples, encouraging them to continue in the faith, and saying that through many tribulations, we must enter the kingdom of God. You see, you don't enter God's kingdom through a rose garden. It's not easy. It's not a walk in the park. Because Paul says you enter it through tribulation. There will be times when you will still get physically sick. There will be times when you may lose your job. You will lose friends and family members to death and also the sin itself. You will have to trudge through the doubts that skeptics bring up in your life. You will have to endure temptations and get hammered daily by Satan and the sin that he throws your way. Because you have to remember that the storms will continue when you get out of the boat. That life will not get much easier. Because the same storm was going on when Peter got out of the boat than what was going on when he lost his faith. And that leads us to our third point. Is that once you're out of the boat, and once the storms continue, you must keep your faith despite the wind and the waves that are still going on. And when Peter sank in this passage, when Peter sang, Jesus rebuked Peter by saying to him, oh, you of little faith, he says, why did you doubt? You see, Jesus' rebuke cuts to the heart of the problem here. There was no excuse from the wind and the waves. There was no legitimate reason for the weakness and faith that Peter had, because that was simply what it was. It was simply a weakness in his faith. But however, with this rebuke that Jesus gives to Peter there in verse 31, Jesus was also providing the solution to Peter's problem. Because Peter, of course, did not have to be perfect to be able to walk on water. He only had to have the faith in Jesus to be able to do so. And it was only when he let his faith weaken in the Lord, when he took his eyes off of Jesus and focused on the storm, that he began to sink. And again, the interesting point to note is that the same storm was going on when he got out of the boat as when he was walking on the water towards Jesus. But as you walk on the water with Jesus today, as you make that step out of the boat to approach him in your life, faith, just like it was with Peter, is your strongest asset. You must constantly do what it takes in your life to keep your faith, because doubts will attack you. And people in your life will question why you're doing so. But of course, you must not let them have their way. You must maintain your faith. As Paul says in Romans chapter 10 and verse 17, that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. You must realize that God's word is a lot more than just your homework assignment. Something for you to study in preparation for the Bible classes here or in other areas. Because the Bible needs to be more than that, because God's word is your lifeline. It is what you need on a daily basis to be able to survive and to be able to stay afloat, walking on the water with Jesus. Because when you have a strong faith in Christ based upon God's word and your relationship with him, you can be unstoppable in your life as a child of God. Paul says in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 13 that I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Because with God, all things are possible in your life as a Christian. So keep your faith. Once the storms continue in your life, after you get out of the boat and begin your walk with Jesus, keep your faith despite the wind and the waves. And there will be times when you will sink, just like Peter did, when you will fall. But the key is to not let those sinks be fatal, because they are bound to happen in your life. Peter did sink in this passage, and the Lord lifted him up. But it wasn't an issue of his faith when he got out of the boat, because Peter had enough faith in the beginning to ask Jesus to tell him to get out of the boat and to start to walk on the water with him. But Peter lost his faith after that. Walking on the water for Peter was a process that needed to be learned. It was not an event that could have just happened instantaneously. And overcoming sin also in your life is not something that is just a one-time event, but it is a process to be learned as well. And in that process, just like with Peter here in this passage, there will be times when you do sink in the water. Not all of them can be absolute, because certainly, if you always make the right choices in life, if you always never sin, if you always resist the temptations that are thrown your way, you will not sink like Peter did here. But on a real and practical level, I think we all know that it will happen at some point. In 1 John chapter 1 and verse 8, the Apostle John said there that in the battle against sin, he said that he would be a liar. He said that he would be a liar if he said he had never sinned. Because as we know that Paul wrote in Romans that all have sinned and fallen short of God's glory. Because there will be times when you will sink in life. But when you do so, you should not think by any means that you have somehow made all your brethren look bad. You should not think by any means that you are not allowed to be a part of God's people. And you must not start worrying. You must not start worrying about what others may think about you as a person. But instead, simply turn back to Jesus. And just like with Peter, he will lift you up out of the water. But what about you and your life tonight? At this moment, are you sinking? Did you sin again? Are you in a life of sin again? Are you gossiping? Are you lying, cheating, or stealing? Are you lusting, coveting after something that can get in your way of walking with Jesus? Are you committing immorality again? Using foul language, exploding with anger, drinking, gambling, or getting high again? And I don't want to minimize any of these things, how serious each and every one of these sins have been in your life, but understand that walking on water is a process and not an event, as it is with Peter, just as growing in Christ today for you is a process and not an event, something that you must learn over time. Because you do not conquer sin in your life merely because you're baptized or come forward and confess your sins. But further, your life with Christ is not over simply because your faith wavered and you sank because of your sin. Because the answer is to not stay there in that state of sinking in the water, but to do what Peter did and to turn to Jesus. Because he is the only one that can lift you up out of the water and keep you from drowning spiritually. And when you do turn back to Jesus, he will be there to lift you up out of the water and to bring you back to him. And right here is the most amazing part of this story. As Peter foundered there in the water, splashing and thrashing, he cried out to the Lord to save him, because Peter realized that he needed the Lord's help to get out of the water. Now, what might we expect Jesus to do here in this case? Do we expect Jesus to say to Peter, well, if you don't have enough faith to cut it, you're just going to have to stay there? Would Jesus have said that to him? Or do we expect Jesus to mainly step over Peter on his way into the boat and say to him, well, you should have thought of this before you made the trip out of the boat? Maybe we expect Jesus to let Peter founder there for a few minutes to think about his decision to get out of the boat and then grab Peter at the last possible minute. But of course, Jesus did not do or say any of those things. But instead, the moment that Peter needed to be saved, the moment Peter cried out to the Lord to save him, Jesus reached out his hand, took a hold of Peter, and pulled him up out of the water. And sadly, in this story here in Matthew, what we sometimes remember the most of this account is that Peter failed to walk on the water. It was that Peter lost his faith and he sank in the water. But I would imagine that what Peter remembered the most was that when he needed saving, when he needed Jesus the most in his life, he cried out to the Savior to save him, and Jesus was right there to do so. But remember that also in your life, that no matter how far you sink in life, no matter how far you may go down into the water, when you turn back to Jesus, just like with Peter, he will respond immediately. Because Jesus does not want you to founder in the water of your sin and guilt, because he wants your soul to be saved. And he wants you to realize that he is the only one who can save you from your sins. And therefore, he will wait until you turn to him. But when you turn, he will act immediately. Going back over to that passage in 1 John chapter 1, we can see here again about what Jesus will do if we confess our sins. 1 John chapter 1, in verses 8 through 10. 1 John chapter 1, and the verses 8 through 10. The Bible says there that if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. When you confess your faults to Jesus, it says that he was faithful and he will forgive you your sins and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. And when you do sink, there will be times when people will remember the moments that you had a lack of faith. But the key is to quit gaining your feeling of worth and value from those around you. But instead, remember that no matter how far you may go away from God, no matter how far you may sink in the water, that Jesus can be there to pick you up when you ask him. That Jesus can be there to pick you up when you need him the most in your life. Now, of course, in this account here of Peter and walking on the water in Matthew 14, in your life today, you're not trying to do what Peter did. You're not trying to walk on the water with Jesus, but you're trying to do something more difficult in your life, to overcome Satan and the sin that he throws your way. But how are you going to do it? All the answers are here. But first, to get out of the boat, to leave your doubts and fears behind and realize you can be safer in the storms of life with Jesus than without him in the boat all by yourself. You must also maintain your faith when you see that the storms continue in life, and to keep your eye on the goal and on the Savior who has brought you to the point where you are now. And also rely on Jesus when you need him the most. And when you do sink, realize that he is the one who can save you and lift you up out of the water. So ask yourself this evening, again, where are you? Are you in the boat with doubts and fears, thinking that you can make it in life and the storms of life all by yourself and without the help of Jesus? Or are you with Jesus, walking on the water with him, hand in hand, looking unto him for the faith that you need in your life to survive the storms and the temptations that are thrown your way? If you're here this evening and you have already obeyed the gospel of Christ, maybe at one point in your life you made a decision to obey the gospel. When you made a decision to get out of the boat and to begin to walk on the water with Jesus. But now you find yourself just like Peter was, and now you're sinking in the water. Now you're sinking deeply, involved in sin, an unrepentant sin in your life that has overtaken your soul. You are in desperate need of reaching out to Jesus this evening, confessing your faults to him, just as John writes in 1 John chapter 1, and he is faithful and just to forgive you of your sins if you confess and repent of them. You come forward this evening confessing of your sins, and we can pray for you and with you to help get you out of the water and back, walking hand in hand through life, through the storms, with Jesus by your side. If you're here this evening and you have not obeyed the gospel of Christ, you too are sinking. You too are in need of the Savior's help in your life so you can be with him and gain heaven for eternity. You come forward this evening believing in Jesus, repenting of your sins, confessing that Jesus is God's Son, and be baptized for the remission of your sins, arising to walk as a new creature in God's sight, being a born-again Christian, and beginning that walk through the storms of Jesus by your side. If you're here this evening and you're subject to the gospel call in any way, make your needs known and come to Jesus now while we stand and while we sing.